If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
The Lord gave me this sermon a couple of weeks ago, and when I told my wife I was going to preach on this subject, and she goes, "How can you preach that with everything that's going on?" And my subject this morning is joy. Hallelujah. I believe, according to the Word of God, no matter what circumstances we are in, we can have joy. Because real joy comes from Jesus, right? And in a few days, we're going to be voting. And half the country will be upset. They'll have no joy. And then the other half will be elated. So whatever side you're on, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is, the Lord's in control. And I've learned to be happy in all situations, to have joy regardless of what's going on. And you see, the way the world works is everything has to go perfect in order to have joy, right? You have to go out in that parking lot today, and your car's got to start, and you got joy. If it doesn't, no joy. Especially when it's raining. You got to get out the jumper cables, and it's pouring down rain, and your suit's getting all wet. And, you know, your joy is just right out the window. But see, when you have Jesus' joy, I don't care if your car don't start. You know, the Lord's going to make a way. We're all going to ride home with Billy. You know, and it's, what are you driving today, Billy? He don't remember. Okay, Jaguar, one of those cars, something, you know. You didn't bring out the vet, I know, because it's raining today. You didn't bring that out. But Billy would give you a ride home, I tell you. But the joy of the Lord, we need that. You know, I go in a lot of houses every week, and I tell you, one thing that I really see that's missing is they have no joy. You know, the word joy or rejoice is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. And when you read the Bible, you realize that in one particular book, joy and rejoice is mentioned a lot of times, and that is the book of Isaiah. Isaiah mentions it all the time, and when you do a little history of Isaiah when he was around, the nation of Israel was in terrible straits. The northern kingdom was under Assyrian rule. The southern kingdom, 46 cities were destroyed, 200,000 in captivity. How can you have joy in that situation? But Isaiah writes in chapter 12, he says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. He is my strength. He is my defense. He is my salvation." How could Isaiah write that? Isaiah found the secret that it's not your circumstances that make you joyful. It's your relationship with God. So how are we going to have joy today? I believe we need to do a couple of things here if we're going to have joy. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 15. Give you a little background. Jesus is in the upper room. He's talking to his disciples. In a few short hours, he'll be betrayed. He'll be beaten. He'll be falsely accused. He'll hang on the cross. He'll die for your sins and my sins. But before this happened, Jesus writes these words to his disciples, or speaks these words. Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do remain in me, or if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. If you remain in my words, remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy will be complete. This morning I'd like to talk about Jesus' joy. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He gives us joy, no matter what circumstances happen to you or to me, we can still be joyful in all situations. Did you notice verse 11? It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy will be in you, and that your joy will be complete." The only way to have complete joy is that we have to remain in Jesus. So the first thing, if we're going to have joy, you've got to have Jesus ruling and reigning in your life. Without Jesus, you're not going to have any joy. Only way you're going to have joy is going to be temporary. Everything has to go perfect. And you know how that works. It very seldom happens. But when you have Jesus ruling and reigning in your life, when things go bad, when the wrong guy becomes president, you still have joy. When you get upset with your wife, you still have joy. When your wife is sick at home, you still have joy. When our finances aren't there, you still have joy, because everything is based on Him. Jesus is the key to having any kind of joy at all. And we need Him in our life. Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Basically what He's trying to say, if you're apart from me, you can bear no fruit. You can do no good works. You can accomplish nothing besides your own little effort. But when we abide with the Lord, when we are realize that He is the true vine and that we are His branches, and we stay close to Him, we can do great and mighty things, and we can have joy no matter what happens. Because all true joy comes from God. And today, I don't know what situation you may find yourself in. You may have no joy at all. You just showed up to church and you let the rain get to you. You let that hour of sleep get to you. Looked at the clock and you thought you overslept or whatever. Or you underslept. And you don't have much joy here this morning. I'm here today to tell you that as long as you have Jesus in your heart, you can have joy. Amen? We need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. That's why your neighbors who don't have Jesus, they have no joy. And it's kind of funny that Jesus, when He was telling His disciples, He didn't say, "I'm going to give you power." He did say that a little bit later. "But I'm going to give you joy." Because He realized that if you're going to be effective in this world, the thing that you're going to have on the outside is you've got to have joy. Have you ever been around a person that's always bitter? Complains about everything? They may be a Christian. Do you think they win very many people to the Lord? The answer to that question is no. Because the world looks at them and say, "Well, if that's really what a Christian is, I don't want any parts of it." But when you have joy in all situations, when someone is sick and you still have joy, when you don't have any money to pay the bills and you still have joy, the world's looking for someone like that. And that's why it's so important for you and me to stay close to Jesus. Nehemiah 8 says this, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." When you're weak, when you feel defeated, when you feel like you can't do anything, the joy of the Lord will strengthen you. He'll make you an overcomer. He'll make you overcome those situations, because you won't look at the situations, you'll look at the answer to the situations, which is always Jesus. Joy. We need Jesus to have joy. I know before I was saved, the only way I could have any kind of joy, everything had to go right. The car had to start. The girlfriend had to say yes, yes, yes. You know, all those things had to happen. And when things didn't go right and you lost your job, no joy, right? But when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, I realized from day one that no matter where He takes me, I can have joy. A few years ago, we were in Cuba, Havana, and I got talking to a few of the leaders there at that church. And I said, "Well, how many of you guys were in prison for your faith?" And every one of the pastors raised their hand. And everyone said the same thing. Even though we were in prison, we still had joy, because the Lord had put us there for a reason, to make us stronger, that when we finally got out and we began to preach boldly in our churches, no matter what they would do to us, we would not be afraid, because we already had experienced the worst thing ever, being in prison. And when they would come and burn down their churches, tear their churches up, those pastors still could have joy, because their joy came from the Lord. And if you're here today, I would love for you to say, Lord Jesus, take control of my life. And if you're listening to me over the internet and you have no joy, the key is you got to surrender your life to the Lord. You can do the best you can do, but without the Lord in your life, you'll never have joy. You'll never have peace. You'll never have victory, because he's the only one that can give those things to you. For it says in Psalm 16, it says, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. You're lacking a little bit of joy today? Get in the presence of the Lord. Get alone with God. Turn the TV off. Turn your phone off. Pull out the Bible and say, Lord, I'm lacking some joy today, Lord. I want you to speak to my heart. And as you get alone with God, you'll realize one thing. He will fill your heart once again with the joy that the world doesn't understand and the world can't take away, because it's all based on him. So if you need joy in your life today, let me just say this. Get close to God. Brother Nick, I know you're having a hard time raising your funds to become a missionary. And you know what? It's not your problem. It's Jesus' problem. He's got the money on the thousand hills. He has the cows. Tell him to sell a couple cows. You need to go. Amen? So don't worry. Don't fret. The Lord has got his hand upon you. He's going to send you. So don't look at your bank account. Say, Lord, I'm doing everything I can do. This is your problem. You want me on the mission field? You want me in Mexico? You got to get me there. When we do a mission trip, I do the same thing. Lord, we need $20,000. I don't have it in my back pocket. Lord, you got to raise the funds. You've got to raise the people. We've got to go. And you know what happens? Every time the Lord raises the money, every time he sends people my way, every time we go. Now, he may send Rick and Madge with her fingernails. And you come, first time I met her on the mission field, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what can she do with those things? She can't carry some blocks. She can't drive any nails. But, man, she can cook. She can really, really cook. Her and Rick, man, I tell you, we have a chef in our presence today. See, because I was looking on the outside. I was looking for strong men. I was looking for people with talent. And the Lord says, you don't need those. I'm going to send you the people that you need. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And we need him 100% in our life. And that's what the government needs. The government needs to bow their knee and surrender to Jesus to get rid of all this strife. Donnie McClurkin, who's a black pastor up in New York, he said, you know what? We're not black people. We're not white people. We're not Hispanic people. We're Americans. Come on. We are Americans. We have an obligation as Americans that when things don't go our way, we say, okay, we're Americans. And I love what he said that last week. And he's so true. The problem is we have a lot of people in our country, they're not really Americans, I don't think. They want their own way. When they don't get their own way, they cry like babies and they do crazy stuff. They have to realize that we live in the best country ever. I've been to a lot of countries, and I can guarantee you, we have a great country here. Now, it has flaws, it has problems because it's run by men. But believe me, it's... what are you laughing at? Okay. But it's true. We're flawed, right? We're run by people that are imperfected. We're a bunch of sometimes hard-headed people, but it's still the best country on the planet. Amen. If you want to see real prejudice, let me take you some places I've been. There's real prejudice out there. And I know America's not 100% right, but we need to realize that America was God-given. We're here for a purpose, because we send out more missionaries, we send out more money, we do more good than all the other nations put together. I can guarantee you that. And God has saved this nation for a reason. And we can't let people tear it down. We have to stand up for the Lord. I don't know how I got onto that, but whatever. That's my 2 cents. You can put that on the internet. I don't care. So what happens though when we mess up? When we don't do the right thing? Does God still love us? Does he still care for us? You better believe it. It says in Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, "For his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning." And the reason the psalmist could write that is because he realized that as long as he got close to God, King David realized that even though he messed up, and he messed up a lot of times, as long as he came back to the Lord would forgive him, the Lord would put him on the right path, the Lord would renew his spirit, and he could have joy once again. So don't let bitterness grow into your heart. A lot of times when we're serving God, we think when things go wrong, we get bitter sometimes, right? When things don't happen the way they should, don't get bitter. You get closer to God. And he may reveal why he's doing certain things in your life, but if he doesn't, we have to be like Job. "Even though you slay me, Lord, I will still trust you." That's the kind of faith the Lord's looking for us. He wants us to have that. So what's the second thing that we have to do if we're going to have joy? Now, this is a little bit harder. It's easy to get close to Jesus because he's perfect. The second thing that we have to do, we have to get closer to others. We have to realize others are more important than ourselves. Jesus was always trying to teach his disciples, you put others first, not your own ways. I don't know about you, but I like to be at the front of the line. I like to be the first one in the gear. You know, I like to be number one. But the Lord says, if you're going to be number one, then I'm going to move you to the back of the line. That's what the Lord says to me. What, doesn't he say that? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So with your goal in life to be number one, I got a rude awakening for you. One day the Lord's going to move you to the back of the line. So don't get to the back of the line. You put other people first. That's why Jesus told his disciples over and over again, love each other. Love one another. And when you read the Gospels, you see that he was constantly trying to tell his disciples, don't worry about who's going to sit on my right hand and who's going to sit on my left hand. That's not for you to even figure that out. Just love one another. And the disciples were hard-headed at this. They were always jockeying for position, trying to be Jesus' number one. And Jesus was trying to tell them, if you want to be number one, you have to be servant of all. And if you're going to have joy, let me say this, you've got to learn how to put other people first. When you put other people first, then you can have true joy. Because you're worried about their happiness. You're worried about their life. You're worried about their situation. And when you get your mind off yourself, get away from your self-centeredness, then you can have real joy. Because that's where it begins. And Jesus was constantly trying to tell his disciples, you have to realize I died for the world. Not just you 12, but for the world. That's why Jesus was always in trouble. He was always seeking after the lost. The Pharisees were constantly after him because Jesus would do what? He would sit down with Democrats and Republicans. It doesn't say that, but it says Republicans. It says publicans, but not Republicans. He said he would sit down with prostitutes and sinners, tax collectors. That's who he hung around with. That was his crowd. And the Pharisees were constantly trying to say, you should not hang around these people. These people are bad. These people are sinful. And Jesus would try to tell them, it's not the well people that need a doctor. It's the sick people that need a doctor. And the Pharisees were always worried about on the outside looking good. And that's why Jesus in Luke, he began to tell them about the three parables, about the lost sheep, and the lost coin, and the lost son. And he was trying to convince the Pharisees that if you go after the one that's lost, that's how you get to the heart of God. If you're worried about that lost coin, that one coin, you got a handful of coins here. Who worries about the one penny? No one worries about that. But Jesus worries about the one you think is worthless. The son that went out and spent all his money. Jesus tried to tell the Pharisees that this is what it's all about. That son should have been excommunicated, right? Because he was 100% wrong. Let's face it. He did the wrong thing at the wrong time, and he deserved what he got. That's what a lot of people think. But Jesus said no. This son that was lost, now he's alive again. And that's the way God treats you and me. When we wander off and we don't put him first in our life and we become like that prodigal son, Jesus still goes after us. He still runs after us because he is concerned about the one. It's kind of funny when Philip, the deacon, went out to Samaria, the half-breed nation, the people that the Jews despised. When he began to share the gospel, it says, the people believed and there was great joy in the city. Why? Because for their first time in their life, their stance was not, I'm just a half-breed. I'm not worthy to be a Jew. I'm worse than a Gentile. And Jesus showed them through the power of the Holy Spirit, as Philip preached, that no matter what stance you may think you are, if you abide in me, if you put me first in your life, if you accept me as your personal Savior, you can have eternal life. It has nothing about being Jewish. And when Philip preached that sermon there in Philippi, in Samaria, the whole town rejoiced because the first time in their life, they realized that they too could have eternal life. They too could have the Messiah as their king. So we need to put other people first. How are you doing in that situation? Are you praying for your boss? Are you praying for your neighbors? Are you praying for the people that you have a hard time hanging around with? We need to. We need to show them the way. The reason the Lord loved you is so that you could give it away. We need to learn how to give our love away. That's why in America we have so much strife, so much bitterness floating around America. It's because people have learned how to love themselves. They haven't learned how to love others. And as we begin to love others, we can show them that Christ can come into their life. He can make their life worth living. And it's not about who wins the election. It's all about Jesus. Because he's in charge. He's in control. So what's the third thing, third step that we need to do? If we're going to have true joy, we got to learn how to stay in the vine. Stay in the vine. That's why Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He didn't say you can do little. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing is what? Nothing. It's zero. You can't raise a flea without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And how do we stay in the vine? How is there proof that you're staying in the vine? Is your attitude. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life and you stay in the vine, he changes your attitude. He makes you like him. He gives his joy to you. He changes how you think, how you plan, your whole attitude about other people and about the gospel and about how to serve God changes. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So how should we rejoice? Always, right? Not just sometimes, not just on Sundays, not just on Monday, not just when you get the raise, not when you get the new car. Rejoice in always. And no matter what situation you may find you're in. And if you can do that, if you have the right type of attitude that no matter what happens in this physical life, Jesus is in control. Because you know what? Whether you believe it or not, Jesus is in control. He is. He's sovereign. He makes the rain come. He makes the sun move. He does all those things because he is able to. That's why it says in Romans, it says, be joyful in hope. That's easy. Patient in affliction. That's hard. Faithful in prayer. Now, I like that verse except one little phrase. Patient in affliction. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be afflicted. I like when things go smoothly. I like when there's no bumps in the road. I don't want to be afflicted. I don't want the Lord to try to teach me something the hard way. I just want it smooth sailing. I just want to go through this Christian life, you know, grooving like on that surfboard. I don't want any up and down waves. I want it smooth. But the Lord says, and if you're going to grow, there's going to be affliction. Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. In this world, you'll have what? Tribulation. He already warned us. You will have affliction. You will have hard times. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Because Jesus overcame the world. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes this. I have learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in. I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to be in need. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. The secret is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul learned the secret. And Paul, when you look at his life, some days he was doing great. No problems, and some days he was in prison. Some days he was well fed. Some days he was out there shipwrecked. But no matter what situation he found himself in, he was content. Because he knew that God had a plan, that God had a reason why those things happened. You read in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas are thrown into prison for preaching the gospel and casting out a demon. And when you read that part of the scripture in Acts, what do you find Paul and Silas doing? They're praising God. They're singing hymns. They're singing songs. They're not saying, woe is me. Why did you put me in this terrible prison with all these rats and bugs and water and carrying on? No. They began to sing to the Lord, sing praises throughout the prison. And God sent an earthquake, shook the prison walls. The doors all flew open. The jailer thought everybody had escaped. Because that's what I'd have done. I'd been out of there. But Paul and Silas, what are they doing? They're still sitting there, still praising God, still singing, because they knew God had a plan. And when they called for that jailer, the jailer gave his heart to the Lord that day, and not just him, but his whole family. See, because God had a reason. God had a plan. In that magazine that we're going to pass out later on after the service, there's a story in there about a guy named Petra. He was in the Sudan. He was there for the Voice of the Martyrs, you know, helping out the local church there on a tourist visa. I don't know how you can have a tourist visa in the Sudan, but he got one. And as he was there for about a month, as he got ready to get on the plane, they arrested him. They threw him in prison. And at first, he was very sad. He was very distraught. He realized that, man, how long am I going to be here? And as the weeks went by, he realized God had a plan. God had a purpose. God is going to use you. And as he began to share the gospel in those prison walls with those prisoners, the Lord began to save people in those prisons. Because God had a plan. God had a reason. And finally, Petra realized, okay, Lord, whether you keep me here for a year or 10 years, I am going to witness for you. I am going to be content in what you have planned for my life. I'm going to have joy no matter what the circumstances may be. And as you learn that secret, you're going to have true joy. So this morning, do you have true joy? Is your heart overflowing with joy? If not, you can have that joy because that joy comes from Jesus. That joy, he can give you today. There was a wealthy man that lived in the 1800s. His name was Horatio Spafford. He had tons of money. He was a big-time lawyer. He owned a bunch of properties. Things were going well. But in 1870, his only son died, 4 years old, scarlet fever. He had four daughters and one son. And then a year later, there was a thing called the Great Chicago Fire. Wiped out all his assets. He lost all his land, all his buildings, everything burned to rubble. And he realized that his wife was having a difficult time, so he decided that we're going to go to England. We're going to go back. And D.L. Moody was over there in England doing evangelistic services, so they were going to take a ship and go over there. But before they got on the ship, he was called away to a business meeting, and he sent his wife and his four daughters across the ocean. And as they began to sail, a storm arose, and the ship went down, killing 266 people and his four daughters. And about a day later, he gets this telegram from his wife. Survived alone. What shall I do? Horatio got on the next ship, sailed to England. And when they were at that space where the ship went down, that what was before them, the captain called him up to the bridge and said, this is where your four daughters are. They're down there in that ship. And you would think that grief and sadness would overtake Horatio. And he said that when he reached that place where his four daughters were buried in that watery grave, he said the joy of the Lord began to rise up within him like never before. And he began to write. He wrote the words to this story or this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And that song has been ministered to hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of people since the 1870s. See, God used tragedy and he turned it around for good. And when Horatio should have been sad and just ready to jump over the ship and give his life, drown himself, the Lord began to fill him with joy once again. And I can tell you today, is it well with your soul? Is your soul on fire for God? Is there joy in your life? You can have that joy today. I call it Jesus joy. He gives it to each one that needs it. And you know who needs it? All of us. See, we're so prone to that. And when Jesus spoke these words to his disciples 2,000 years ago, he knew. He knew just in a few short hours, he would die, he would be buried in that tomb. And you know what happened to those disciples? All their joy was gone. They thought that they had believed the lie, that he really wasn't the Messiah. Even though he told them time and time again, I am going to be buried. I'm going to rise from the dead. All the joy was gone. But let me tell you this. That was Friday. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And when that Sunday morning came, and when Jesus rose from that tomb, you know what happened? Their joy was restored. They danced like they never danced before because their Savior, their King, the one they put their full trust in, he was alive and well. And I can tell you today, whether you think about Friday, whether you're in Friday or you're in Sunday, today's Sunday, you can have that joy. You can have that peace. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. For we serve a risen Savior. He's no longer in the grave. We know he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming back for you and for me one day. And I can have that reassurance that the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth. He won't be Democrat. He won't be Republican. He will be King. And he will rule with righteousness. He won't be swayed by the lobbyist. He'll rule right. But until that day, we're on this earth. And it's up to you and me to have that joy. Is it Friday in your life or is it Sunday? I think today is Sunday. I think we all can have joy today before we leave that place. I think the Lord can pour out His Spirit upon all of us. And if you're here today and you need some joy in your life, don't walk out these doors. Let Him set your feet to dancing. No matter what situation you may be, whether you're sick, whether you're whole, whether you have a lot of money or no money, whether you have a house or no house, whether you have a car or no car, the joy comes from Jesus. It always has. It always will.